Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of A Good Drop, where every other week or so we travel beyond the outer realm into the dimension of strong, strong things.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Strong beer. We are talking strong, 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 ludicrously strong beer.
Yeah. I'm Stu.
I'm Michael.
Cheers.
Cheers. So we are here today talking about this trend that isn't as new as some may think of very, very, very strong beers, and we have entered the abyss to talk about these things. Literally what we are drinking.
Yeah, it's literally called the abyss from the Trilogy of Fear from Brick Lane Brewing. You spotted these ones.
I did. I actually, my attention was drawn to them when a friend of mine showed up to an event with Leviathan, which is another of the Trilogy of Fear.
It's a very nice looking can. Like, the artwork on them is very nice. Look it up, guys.
Yeah.
You'll also see it in the episode icon. But yeah, I really like the artwork. It's very creepy, very eerie.
It is. And there's just terrific blurbs on each of these cans. And I know...
Oh, yeah. Please,
like,
read it.
Yeah, I don't want to be making this seem like it's an ad for these. They were a limited run. You can't actually get them anymore. By the time this episode is out, you probably can't get them.
Mm.
But... these are just terrific. So, on the abyss, it says, "Quiet conversations of spicy amburana floating upon liquid darkness. Pay homage to the silence of the screams found beyond the portal."
Spooky.
Spooky, yeah.
Almost got goosebumps from that one.
And, yeah, this one is... The abyss is actually the weakest of the Trilogy of Fear.
At how many percent?
Coming in at a mere 10.4%.
Right. That's entering wine strength territory. That's so strong. And these are 500 ml cans as well, so that translates to around about 4.1%.
4.1 standard drinks. 4.1
standard drinks.
Yeah.
If you're in Australia. Yeah, and this is the second one in this Trilogy of Fear. There's two more.
Yeah, so part one was actually called Baba Yaga.
Also a spooky name.
Yeah, it's very spooky, based, of course, upon the Russian creepy critter that steals children into the forest.
Well, it makes sense that it's a Russian folklore, doesn't it?
And it's a Russian Imperial Stout.
Go figure.
And... so, on the back of the can, oh, very fitting, coaxing dormant bourbon spirits from the depths of the juiciest barrels, risks evoking her, conjuring her, whispering her name. Baba Yaga. Terrific.
This is supposed to be mostly PG, mate. Don't make it too scary. And, of course, part three is the Leviathan that you mentioned earlier.
Yes. Which has the absolutely terrific blurb, "We pray offering cacao nibs and vanilla beans will placate the elder gods, save they be awakened to remind us of the insignificance of humanity." Now, both Baba Yaga and Leviathan are of equal strength. They both come in at 12%.
Holy moly.
And are 4.7 standards each.
Far, these are a definitely one and done kind of drink. But it's a trend, guys. Probably in the last 10 years, the last 10 years I've noticed it, but more so the last five, we've started with your IPAs, which generally push 6%, and then you got your double IPAs, which lean towards 8%. And then I've seen a triple IPA, which is about 9%.
So you're noticing the picture of the Super Hornet double IPA that pulls in at 8.7% and is from the Black Hops Brewery.
That's a Queensland local.
Yes, and they also have a little blurb on the back. It's not creepy, though, but I'll give Stuart the honours this time.
Yeah. Super Hornet Double IPA is an upgraded redesign of our Hornet IPA, fitted with extra ABV firepower and extended bitterness range. This bad boy is designed to establish flavour superiority. Loaded with an armament of fresh NATO hops, you will smell this beer before you see it coming. So, very fitting as well.
Yes.
And if you're not aware, a Super Hornet is a aircraft, military aircraft.
Yes, correct.
Hmm. Supposedly for air superiority, but I'm not a military expert in the slightest.
Nor am I. And certainly that's not what this podcast is about.
No.
But it does bring us to the fact that this trend has been actually going on for longer than some of you may think, with the final beer that we are going to talk about today being a Trappist.
Mm. We've definitely talked about this before. We have a whole episode on it.
Yes. And the La Trappe Trappist Quadruple that you would see in the picture there is 10% ABV.
Mm. It's from the Netherlands, but the Trappist Society, Trappist Trappist branch of Christianity, started in France.
Mm. And the Trappist monks, of course, as you would know if you've listened to our Trappist episode, have been producing beers for a very long while.
Mm. And I guess they're the OG ones for high proof alcohol, high proof beer.
Well, and high proof beer that's insanely smooth and easy to drink.
Oh yeah, some of the best beer I've ever had. But it's in the style of Belgian ales, which are very like rich and thick and on the sweeter side. So it makes sense that Belgium is next on our list for making strong beers, or where to get super strong beers.
Yes. And I mean, naturally, a lot of countries in that area produce very strong beers and always have. A lot of beers that come out of Germany tend to be around the 8%, 9% mark.
Mm. Yep. Germany, Belgium. Well, they're basically next to each other.
Well, they are, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the whole of Europe's next to each other. But, yeah, the Belgium, I don't think I've ever had a French beer, now that I think about it. But France has always been more a wine country.
Yes.
And so their thing was always above 10% anyway.
Well, exactly right.
And since we've started moving towards the later years, you've got England with their IPAs, the inventor of the IPA, or the original IPA. They poured extra hops and booze into it to make it last the journey. And I suppose since then, you've got the craft brewers in New England, or you've got the craft brewers in the US who started the current trend of craft beer.
Yes, and there are quite a few higher ABV craft beers coming out of the US now. The mass-produced stuff still, in general, is about average. What you'd expect, 4.8, 5%-ish.
Yeah. I think part of that is also due to the brewing time. The higher proof beers take longer to brew, longer to ferment to get that 6, 7, 8%, even up to the 12%, this crazy thing.
Yeah, of course, these stouts. I mean, if you're going to push it, it's easier to push it with a stout.
Because you're supposed to age them anyway.
A lot of stouts are stronger, and these are aged in, you know, the Leviathan and Baba Yaga are aged in bourbon barrels.
Yeah. I doubt any of the alcohol leached out from that, but
But I'd be interested to see what difference it makes, honestly. But right now, I'm curious to see if the good folks at Brick Lane have managed to produce a high ABV stout that is actually roughly on par with the alcohol percentage of the Trappist, that is equally smooth and equally easy to drink. Because, of course, the key is, can you make it strong and easy to drink?
Yeah, anyone can make a strong beer, but does it taste nice? That's the challenge, getting both.
Yes.
So, on that note, what does it smell like? Oh, yeah, that's a stout.
Yep, it definitely smells like a stout and something else.
Well, this isn't the bourbon barrel one, though. This is that.
No, this is the fruity one.
The one with amburana, which is apparently a legume, a spicy legume.
And it does smell like it has that chocolatey, stouty smell, but I am picking up some notes of spice.
And something else that I can't quite put my finger on. Probably it's that amburana, because I've never had it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall we taste?
Yes, let's.
Cheers.
Cheers.
These are very full. It's a gingerly tap.
Oh my word.
That's fantastic.
The flavor gives no hint of the strength. But I am absorbed into the abyss.
Yeah.
Now there is only darkness.
Yeah, it's a very much a stout. If you think of a stout and you drink a stout, it tastes like a stout. And that is this. But there's a lot more going on than just being a stout and strong. I can really feel that warmth coming back up now.
You can feel it, yeah. Because it does taste like a stout. You drink it and you say, this is a stout. Mm. It doesn't taste like a stout that's had strange things done to it.
No.
It tastes like a stout, and then there are other flavors.
Mm. Nice flavor. It's very, very, very nice.
Oh.
But I can now, after having a big sip of it, I can now feel that warmth coming back up from the alcohol.
Oh, God. And I feel that's how it should be, though.
Mm.
With any of these stronger beers, I feel that they've succeeded if you're feeling the strength of it, not as you drink it, but afterwards.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because you shouldn't taste the strength of it. You should just feel that warming glow after the fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Which also means we've picked the wrong season to drink these.
Yes.
being an Australian summer.
Yes, here it is summer. Though it's a cooler summer's day today.
It was. It only got to like 27 degrees.
Oh, it got to 30 today.
Oh, did it?
It did, but it's currently 25.
Oh.
Pleasant 25.
Outside. It's probably about 30 in here still because...
Oh, yeah.
My place doesn't air well during the day, and it retains a lot of heat, unfortunately. But, you know, Australian summer is hot anyway.
Yes.
Yep.
So, back to the strong beers, though.
Mm.
Because there was a time, as we would both recall, when really the only strong beers that were anywhere were the Trappists.
Mm.
And everything was either a light, a mid, or a heavy.
Or which, full strength.
Yeah, heavy / full strength, which is, you know, basically your 1-2% is your 4.5%.
And then your 4.5 to 5.
Yeah, is your full strength.
Full strength. And then you had the... Belgian ales, which were 6%, and everyone thought, whoa, that's a big, strong beer. Because, of course, they don't serve it in regular-sized glasses. They give you, like, a half litre.
Yeah. And I mean, yes, there were, and I expect other countries that aren't in Europe would have this. Obviously, in Europe, you're probably going to have a lot more of those 8% mark German and Belgian beers floating around and probably have had forever.
Mm.
But here in Australia, and possibly in the US, Canada, the UK, less so.
Yeah, it's still very much a novelty here.
Yes, unless you go to, say, the German club or a Belgian beer house.
Yeah.
You just don't see them.
Mm.
Though our favorite bottle shop does, of course, carry a fair selection.
Yeah.
But that wasn't always the case.
No. And it's nice to see that we're getting a better selection of beers.
I think that the fact that these are being produced is a sign that both that people's tastes are evolving and that the craft scene is noticing that there is now a section of the market opening up that they can fill.
Mm. Yeah, I think part of it is there's... let's make a beer that's more like a wine, where you want to sip it instead of slug it down. This is very much a sipping beer.
Oh yeah, the flavors are pleasant but strong and complex.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want to drink this quickly. I think you'd regret it if you did.
100%. Well, I reckon I'd regret this about 10.4%. But it's not refreshing, and that's a problem if you like to slug your beers, if you like to down your beers very quickly.
Well, and in fact, that's, I guess, what those beers are designed for. The more refreshing beers, your amber ales, your tropical ales, your lagers.
Mm.
And they're supposed to be ice cold, super refreshing, so you just slam them down. And in fact, some lagers, if they get too warm, are just dreadful.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely most Australian lagers.
But when they're ice cold, perfection.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I think is that the craft brewers are trying to one-up each other.
Yes, because you did have the likes of BrewDog making some very strong beers.
Yeah. They were one of the first ones I heard of that made ultra strong beers, like 25% plus. And the first one I heard of was Tactical Nuclear Penguin. And then the Germans made one that was stronger than that to one up them. What was it called?
Was that Sink the Bismarck?
No, that was the one BrewDog made in response to the Germans.
Right, of course. That makes perfect sense.
Because the Bismarck was a German battleship.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know what the German one was. Sorry, guys. We have a list. We should probably mention what the strongest beer in the world is at this point in time. So, do you want to hear the strongest beer in the world?
I do.
Coming in at a ludicrous 67.5%. That's stronger than the absinthe I have in my cupboard, I think.
Yeah, that's very strong. Wow, very strong spirit level.
It is by a brand called Brewmeister. It's called Snake Venom. It is the highest ABV beer in the world, and it's apparently also the most worrisome. The hoppy multi-carbonated beast is best sipped like a mild spirit and has the flavor profile to match. So it includes smoked peat malt, two types of yeast during production to achieve that high alcohol volume, But it's not a, I guess, a straight beer because they freeze the brew multiple times during fermentation to, basically they freeze distill it to get that high percentage because ethanol freezes at a lower temperature than water.
Yes. So what type of beer is it? What type do they say it is? Is it also a stout or a porter? What is it? I'd expect it to be something along those lines because they're the easiest ones to make strong.
You know, it doesn't say. They don't actually say. It just says fortified beer. So I suspect that it being what it is, it's its own style.
I've certainly never heard of any other fortified beers.
No, me neither. The second one, second strongest beer in the world, is by the same guys, Brewmeister. It's called Armageddon. And it comes in at 65% and was designed as a crossover between beer and whiskey, hitting that sweet spot with crystal malts, wheat, flaked oats, and 100% Scottish spring water. Far out.
Mm, and how strong is that one?
Yeah, 65%.
65%, that's,
yeah,
that's wild.
But it's Scotland, it's Germany, it's, Scotland and Germany pretty much have the cream of the crop because you've got Brewmeister from Scotland. Sorry, I was talking to the mic. You've got Brewmeister from Scotland. You've got Kolschip from the Netherlands. With they come in at the third highest ABV beer with 60%. Start the future. Apparently, it's almost palatable. Far out. European microbrewery. And then you got Brewdog and Shoresbrow. Strength in Numbers. A collaboration between Brewdog and from Scotland and Shoresbrow from Germany, creating a 57.8% beer. It's a Belgian golden ale that's been aged in whiskey casks for 10 years and then freeze distilled. It's crazy.
And sounds amazing, though.
Yeah.
I said, speaking of amazing, I've actually located somewhere that one can buy snake venom.
Yes, in Australia.
Oh, well, from Amazon.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's available on Amazon or from their Brewmeister's website.
Yes, and for a low £50, which is about $93 Australian with current exchange rates.
That's
for one bottle.
Not so bad when you...
330 mils.
Honestly, not so bad when you look at something that's 67%.
Though normally, you know, you'd be... Oh, yeah, I suppose if you were to buy hard liquor at that percentage for a 700 mil, you'd pay more than that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, my 700 mil bottle of absinthe was about $100. And I'm still sipping at that.
It's
sipping
not
away
that,
at that
strong, yeah.
That's 60%, I think.
Mm. Well, and they do recommend drinking the snake venom 30 mil at a time.
Can't imagine why. That's ludicrous. We're at about 28 minutes.
Oh, well, we're pretty good then.
Yeah. But yeah, there's... I don't know how I feel about all these stupidly strong beers. What's the strongest beer you've had?
Well, currently that would probably be the Abyss.
Really?
The Abyss is probably the strongest beer that I've had.
I've got you beat on this one then. I was bought by a friend a can of beer that... Can of beer called the Rhino, the quintuple IPA.
Oh, actually, I think I tried that.
Yeah.
So I've had that. So there you go. We're on par.
We're on par. That is 18%, that one. I cannot for the life of me remember who made it, but I just remember it was awful. It tasted like a beer liqueur.
Yes, I'm pretty sure you gave me a can of it because it was so bad.
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up trying it.
Yeah. It was... I believe it was done with that... Gotten to 18% with that freeze distilling method. And so it left behind the sugars and the alcohol. And left behind the water. And yeah, so came in really... sort of sweet beer, and it was really, really not very nice. I ended up finishing it, but this 375 ml can was just bleh.
Yeah, it was strong, but it was a lesson in how not to make a good strong beer.
Yeah, they were so focused on whether or not they could.
Yes, they didn't stop to think about whether they should.
Mm.
Well, or how, because clearly the good folks at Brick Lane thought about how, and yes, they didn't hit 18, but they hit 12.
Yeah.
And if Baba Yaga and Leviathan have the smoothness and complexity of the Abyss, I would say that they succeeded.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to find that out today.
No.
Because the Abyss has dragged us in and it is enough.
Yes. Like I said before, this is a one and done kind of drink. I do like it. It's very, very nice. I'm not having another one tonight. This is four drinks in one.
It is delicious, and it's not the flavor that stops you from wanting to consume it. There are some things, like one of the rums in a blind rum episode we did, where the flavor was pleasant but so overwhelmingly complex that you couldn't drink more of it because your taste buds couldn't handle it. That's not the case here. It's pleasant enough that I could, after finishing this, have more of it because the flavor is enjoyable.
Mm.
But the ABV says no.
Yeah. The ABV says you probably shouldn't. Especially if you need to go to work the next day like you and I do.
Well, exactly right.
If this was a Friday night, it would be a two and done. Maybe.
Possibly. Spread over a long period of time.
Yeah. Yes, this is actually one of the few drinks where we've not almost finished it in the one episode. Where I'm only about a third in, and you're just over a third.
Yeah, just over.
It's very much a sipping one, and yes, also not an ad. We are not paid in any way for these episodes. We do it because we like talking about beer and booze and discovering new things.
And we really like this beer, hence why we're saying so.
Yeah. We were curious to start with.
Mm.
Like, what on earth? And the label said, not on earth.
Yes, the cans are eye-catching, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah. But... if you're from Brick Lane and you liked our review of The Abyss, let us know. You can send us an email to agooddrop@gmail.com.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you and be encouraged to try new things you produce.
Yeah.
Yes, now you can, of course, find all of our stuff and upcoming things on the social media networks, Facebook and Instagram. We are listed as A Good Drop Podcast.
Hmm. And if you liked what you heard but you haven't subscribed yet, we would love you to hit that button on your favorite podcast app, including Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and many more. We are A Good Drop, all about alcohol.
You can also find our entire, quite lengthy now, back catalog of over 180 episodes. All worth listening to, might I add. All gold.
Of course you'd say that.
At our good old-fashioned website, agooddrop.com.au.
Check us out. So until next time, cheers.
Cheers.